Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I got a lot of things I want to get to, so we could just go on, couldn't we? Amen. Thank y'all so much. Appreciate y'all. Amen. Don't you appreciate our worship team? Bring it every single week. Bring it 100 every week. They don't take no weeks off. That's all. That's special. You know, you don't have to. They don't come dragging in here. And we all deal with stuff. And sometimes you don't feel like. Anybody not feel like praising God? Sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes it's a sacrifice of prayer. It's easy to look at circumstances and look at what's going on. And I want to read something to you. Settle your hearts. There's a lot going on in the world. A lot of people up in arms about things and worried about stuff. And I get accused of, they don't call my name directly, or and may not be directed at me, but people like me, that we are so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. That's such a ridiculous statement. Is heavenly minded, Jesus minded, right? That makes everything work on the earth. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can't disconnect the two. Hear what Pastor Tracy talking about, man. That's right there. It's it. We got to keep our head in the Word. Your head. Amen. So let me just remind you of some things. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. I'm not even going to tell you where it is. You don't know, just ask somebody. I just want you to listen. You should know this by now. This should be something, you know, we got all kinds of ways to search things, and just search it. All right, Lord, I'll tell them. It's Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Your life is important to God. Your life is on the earth. And we being heavenly minded right now about our life. Right? Don't be anxious about your life. What you're going to eat? What you're going to wear? What you eat? What you would drink? Nor about your body? What you will put on? Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or YouTube. Oh, don't say that. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Yeah. I was reminded about this story about the birds. It was sitting up on, you know, where they sit on a wire or something, and they're looking down and seeing people on the earth scurrying around and worried. It looked like they're troubled and scared and frustrated and anxious and nervous. And the one bird said to the other bird, why are they so anxious? Why are they so worried? And the other bird said, well, maybe they don't have a heavenly Father to take care of them. Huh? And I believe when Jesus told this story, there were birds out there. Jesus was a master illustrator. Because he's teaching. He said, look at the birds. Look at them. Well, they had to be around to look at them. He said, look at them. Thank you, Lord. they don't sow to reap, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what are we going to do? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. You're heavenly minded. Your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of heavenly mind. And you'll prosper in the earth if you're heavenly mind. Okay? See, we got inside information. And some people don't know. You have no excuse. You come to Summit, you have no excuse. You know what to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, tomorrow, we tomorrow, hey, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Yeah. That don't never change. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Amen. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. First Peter just occurred to me while I was over there, the Holy Spirit brought these to my remembrance. This goes along with a story that I want to tell you that will help you. First Peter 2 and 9. But you are a chosen race. You know, to God, there's only three classes, three groups of people. In 1 Corinthians, it says, give no offense neither to the Jew nor the Gentile or the church of God. Gentile, simply non-Jew. So there's the Jew, there's the non-Jew, and then there's the church. Church consists of Jews and Gentiles who made Jesus Lord of their life. You are a race of people. We are a race of people. No matter what color we are, we all in this room, no matter what color you are, we're the same race of people in God's eyes. We are a chosen race. And you're special. And we got a king. And we don't have a president, we have a king. You see, and look at this. You're a chosen race. I mean, 1 Peter 2, 9, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies. What do we do on the earth? We proclaim the excellencies of him who calls you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. There's a story about Jesus is the King of Kings, okay? I'm going to tell you a story in a minute, but let me set this up for you. Jesus is the King of Kings. We are ambassadors on this earth. You know what? An ambassador, I'm talking about being heavenly minded. Not my message today, but it is my message. Heavenly minded. An ambassador, if you are an ambassador of the United States and you're in Saudi Arabia or wherever you are, you can be in France, Germany, Switzerland, doesn't matter. If you are the ambassador, your needs are taken care of, you are provided for, supplied by the United States. Not that country. Huh? We are foreigners in this earth. heavenly minded. Our needs are supplied for, provided by the King. So we're provided for. What are you talking about? So heavenly minded, you know, earthly good. What is that? Don't even say that. That's ridiculous. Huh? You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. How are you not going to be heavenly minded? Now, you can choose not to be. But we're foreigners on this earth. Our citizenship, listen, our citizenship is in heaven.
Yes.
Now let me tell you a story. Arnold Palmer was a golfer. Anybody play golf before? Okay. You know, what do you play? You need a golf ball, but what else do you need?
Clubs,
okay. Even if you haven't played golf, you know something about it. Cool. That helps. You understand this story. Arnold Palmer was invited along with, I believe, I was told, 100 celebrities, golf pros, to Saudi Arabia by the King of Saudi Arabia. Years ago, Arnold Palmer, he's passed away now, but he was one of them that was invited to come and play on this golf course. The King of Saudi Arabia had built this course, was excited about it, brought celebrities and professional golfers over to play on this course. So Arnold Palmer was one of them, and he went there and they dined, they had a dinner, and the King of Saudi Arabia asked Arnold Palmer, "Is anything I can do for you?" And he said, "No, I'm just happy to be over here. I'm glad you invited me." He said, no, I want to do something for you." "You don't have to do that." He said, "No, I want to do something for you." "Well, anything." He said, "Well, what can I give you?" "A golf club." He just asked for a club. So he went back home, didn't think much about it. He looked in the mail one day, and he saw an envelope, and he opened it up. And it was a deed to a 500-acre golf club. Now, he was thinking a club, a stick that you play with. But when he asked the King for a club, the King thinks different than a normal person. See, our God is a big God.
Yes.
Not so long ago, I talked about asking big.
Yes.
Oh, I'm still on that.
Yes.
So do you think club or do you think club?
Yes.
Where is your thinking? That's what I want to ask you. When you think about things going on in the earth, think about our King and how he thinks. That's a great story, man. He think about when that King heard he wanted a club. He ain't thinking about no little club. He's thinking about a golf club. That's like a country club or something like that, man. That's how that the King think different. We need to come up. See, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But we can come up. We can come up to his thoughts. Amen. So that was just an introduction. Let me dive into this message. You were healed. Now, I get ahead of myself sometime, and maybe that's not a good way to say it. I'll say it like this. I teach on healing from time to time, but I could be wrong, but I think it's been a long time since I taught on a foundation for healing, why we can be healed, the foundation. And we get new people all the time, and that's awesome. But I want you to know why you have the right to be healed. Now let me say this. I have a wife who's a fitness instructor, and she is amazing. There was just a feature on the Amen. Let's give her. There was a feature on Wayne TV. Yes, yes. Give it up for our first lady. And Carla, she rocked it out, man. She did it. She did her thing on there, boy. And she's been a fitness instructor. She's all about eating right, healthy lifestyle, exercising. I'm not here to talk about that. That's not my lane. And if I talk about some of that stuff, anything that I teach you from the Word, anything that anybody teaches you from the Word, if it's correct interpretation, it's always right. Notice how I said that. Because there's things that I used to teach from the same scripture that I teach different now. Okay? Because I had an incorrect interpretation of that scripture. And anybody who says they know everything about the Bible is lying to you. None of us knows it all. I'm still a student of the Word. So, but when I talk about health stuff, and anybody, I mean, there's all kinds of opinions about health,
yeah, right?
Right? If people want to be a vegan or a vegetarian, none of that's my lane. Do what you want to do, but here's what I know is right. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Everybody's body is different. Everybody's body type is different. And anything that I say, Carl, you can correct me. She has more knowledge, way more knowledge about this than me. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this stuff. I'm just being very general here. Okay? But I don't believe in one size fits all. I do believe in listening to the Holy Spirit. I've been told, if you came up to me and gave me some information and gave me five pages of stuff to refute it, I wouldn't argue with you. I said, well, you might be right. I don't have time to look into it. All right? So much false stuff going on. You got to fact check everything. I don't even have time to fact check stuff. And it's like one time I just saw recently Drake's father was asked by somebody, kind of flagged him down and said, what do you think about Kendrick Lamar? And he said, man, it ain't got nothing to do with me. It got nothing to do with me. And he went on walking. That's where I feel about a lot of stuff. It ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm too heavenly minded to put my mind down there in that dirt. I'm trying to fact check, make sure stuff. I don't have time for all this kind of stuff. But I'm told type 2 diabetes can be taken care of by lifestyle.
Yes, I believe that.
But some people are not willing to eat and change the way they eat, change the way they live and exercise. If the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something you don't do, it's on you. I mean, it's on you. It doesn't change His love for you. He'll love you, and if you die, He'll welcome you into heaven. And won't say nothing about it. He's like, you know, welcome. But if you want to stay here on the earth, things like that, you just can't eat. If it was up to me, I'd eat French fries and pizza every day. Every day, hamburgers, French fries, pizza. I know I can't do that. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let me do that. I wouldn't even feel right doing it. You taste good, huh? And Carla, man, she is into her fitness, man. So much so I didn't even get sleep last night. She'll talk fitness in her sleep. She'll give workout instructions in her sleep. I'm a light sleeper. She woke me up at 5 o'clock this morning. She said it's hard on your body. I'm like what? 5 o'clock this morning. I think it was 5:06. It says, hard on your body. And when she does that, I'll talk back to her. And she'll have a conversation for a minute. She says, it's hard on your body. I said, what's hard on your body? She said, Coca-Cola. I'm true, this was this morning. And then she went on and said, yeah, a little kid, I told a little kid that you don't need that. Your body can't take that. Now, this is not revelation. I'm not telling you that's revelation. I'm just talking about how she got a passion for this kind of stuff. And I went into my car this morning to look for something, and I pulled out a bottle of Coke. I took that Coke and put it in the refrigerator. I don't care what you say. Isaiah chapter 53. Well, it was Coke Zero. Look at her, look at her. Oh, man. I tell you what, those things are very funny. There are people, like, they go to McDonald's like, I want two Big Macs, a large order of fries, and a Diet Coke. We have a right to be healed. We have a right to be healed. Even if you drink Coke, you have a right to be healed. Okay, he was despised. This is a foundation for healing. This is a foundation for our forgiveness. Isaiah 53 is a picture of Jesus on the cross. Isaiah is describing Jesus on the cross. He was despised and rejected by men. Years before it happened, he's prophesying. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. So let's go back up to verse 3. A man of sorrows. I'm going to give you a couple of Hebrew words here, and let's follow them along. The word sorrows in the Hebrew, Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, the New Testament was originally written in Greek. The word sorrows is makhob, all right? And acquainted with griefs. Grief is holy in Hebrew. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Surely he has borne our holy and carried our makhob. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the chastisement that brought us peace. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds, we are healed. Say, we are healed.
We are healed.
Now, back to this word griefs and sorrows. The word grief, holy, means sickness. The word sorrows, makhob, means pain. So we can read it like this. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. The same time that Jesus took your sins, he took your sicknesses.
Yes, amen.
The very same time. Because he took our sins, we are forgiven. We are forgiven of all of our sins, past, present, and future.
Yes. Thank you.
He removed our sins as far as the east is from the west.
Yes. Yeah.
We are forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
Same time he did that, he took your sicknesses. He carried your pains. He took them. Say, he took them.
He took them.
Verse 4 says, surely. He was a man of sorrows, okay? So we can read like this. He was a man of pain and acquainted with sickness. He never was sick a day in his life. But when was he acquainted with sickness? On the cross. When he took all of our sicknesses upon himself. Whatever you may be dealing with, or facing, if you're facing sickness or disease, he took that on the cross.
Amen.
Whatever it is. 39 stripes he took on his back. Surely, say surely.
Surely
he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Verse 5, he was pierced for our transgressions, for our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Isaiah, looking forward years ahead to the cross, prophesying, he says, we are healed. He says it in the present tense. Got it? Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. This makes me think about Romans. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us needed forgiveness.
Yes.
And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. Right? Drop down to verse 10. Verse 10 says, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has, what? He has put him to grief. Now, there's a little footnote. In some of your Bibles, you might see a footnote. And in the footnote of my Bible, it says, for he has put him to grief. It says, he has made him sick. There was a price paid for your healing. He has put him to grief. In the Hebrew, it means God has made Jesus sick on the cross. I'm talking about a foundation for your healing. So you know that you have already been healed.
Yes.
Now Oh, Pastor, you're talking about all that Hebrew and stuff like that and what those words say about it. How do you really know? Well, the best way to interpret Scripture is to allow Scripture to interpret itself. Look at Matthew. Matthew referencing specifically Isaiah 53, chapter 8, verse 17. I mean, around this time, you're hearing about flu season, and they're even singing songs about sickness.
Yeah.
I mean, the commercials. Have you heard them commercials?
Yeah.
Diarrhea. I mean, see. They put like a string of them together and just start singing about it. arthritis, diarrhea, and dance into it, sickness. And they get you ready for flu and all that. And they're talking about the flu stuff going around. But listen to the Holy Spirit. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, and I want to commend you as a church, because this winter nobody has given me any peeps. I want to commend you for that. I know you love your pastor. You want him to have kind of snacks that you want, but I don't mess with him too much no more. Every once in a while, sometimes I have a weak moment and I'd indulge. But sometimes, you know, I get a pack, but not like I used to. I used to, I would invite sickness because it's full of sugar. And I knew it. So I know what you're dealing with if you don't want to give up certain things to feel better. And because I don't depend on eating right for my healing. I depend on Jesus. I depend on this. And at the same time, I listen to what the Holy Spirit tells me to do about my body. And I know the Holy Spirit told me, chill it on them peeps. Yeah. Right. My resistance level on my body was low. Started putting some, you know, vitamin C and things like that, because I don't like runny nose and I don't like none of that. I had a flu a couple of times. It's horrible. Anybody ever had the flu? It's horrible, man. I remember one time I passed out in the middle of the night. I woke up, I was in the bathtub, and it shocked me. I mean, I could have hit my head on the tub. A lot of crazy things could have happened. The angel must have landed me soft in that tub, because it shocked me. It never happened to me in my life. Middle of the night, you wake up in the bathtub. Actually, I was on my way, you know, use the restroom, and found myself in the bathtub, man. But that's horrible. I don't like that. So I started taking better care of my body. It's no condemnation. If the Lord told you to exercise, what you doing? Huh? What are you doing about it? I'm not one of these people who want to keep on saying, well, you know, the Lord keep telling me that. I don't want the Lord to keep telling me. just do it already. See, the Holy Spirit is a helper. He'll help you. But he's not going to do it for you. Huh? Somebody's getting ministered to right now. Amen. Huh? So, in Matthew, this is referencing Isaiah. This was to fulfill what was spoken, because Jesus went about healing the sick, right? This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. This is Isaiah 53:4 that we just looked at, right? How did Matthew interpret it? He didn't interpret it griefs. Let me bring this back to you. Surely he has borne our griefs, borne our sicknesses. Huh? Yeah. Matthew didn't say griefs. Matthew didn't say sorrows. Say he took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Huh? Now, if you go back and research those Mahob and holy, you research that, you'll find that it's many times, most of the time, translated sicknesses and pains. If you follow that word in Scripture, I did that years ago, and there's Bible tools that easily help you to check that out and look into it. Why is that so important? It's because now you know that you've already been healed. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Another reference to Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53:5, where Isaiah, looking ahead to the cross, says, "With his wounds you are healed." Amen? Yeah. With his wounds we are healed. Yeah. Peter, on the other side of the cross, after Jesus went to the cross, looks back and puts it in the past tense. A different twist on it, because it already happened. When did it happen? On the cross. He says, "By his wounds, you have been healed." Good news today. You missed a place to shout. No matter what you're dealing with, whatever sickness or disease is going on in your body, you have been healed. So forget about praying these prayers, "Lord, heal me if it be thy will." The reason why that is an incorrect, unscriptural prayer is because that's not a prayer of faith. When you say, "If it be thy will," and pause, there's a place for that. When you are consecrating and dedicating your life to the will of God, like, "I don't know if I should get this job or pursue this career or start this business," or like, "I need some direction, I need some help, Lord, if it's your will, I'll stay here on this job. If it's not, then show me where to go." That's when you're consecrating, dedicating your life to the will of God. But because you don't know, there's no scripture in the Bible that says, "Take that job." But when it comes to your healing, when it comes to promises, things that God has already promised you, you don't pray, "If it be thy will." Because when you introduce if is the badge of doubt. James says, "Let him ask in faith with no wavering. For he that doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind." Watch this. "Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord." 1 John says, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." See, there it is, Pastor. You got to ask according to his will. What's his will? His word. We should have confidence when we pray for our healing because we ask according to his word. And what does his word say? He took our sicknesses and bore our diseases, and with his wounds we have been healed. So we have confidence that we ask according to his word, he hears me. And if I know he hears me, John says, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Hallelujah. So we don't pray, "If it be thy will," read the will and know. Ephesians says, "Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." His will is his word. His word says, "By his wounds, we have been healed." So we can have confidence, and we can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. You got to know you're already healed. And there's always God's little helpers. You can't know now. You got to pray if it be thy will. No, I just debunked that from the word, okay? Well, you know, tomorrow's not promised. Anybody ever heard that? Garbage? But tomorrow is promised. Some people are scared to say it. But we got to be bold to say, with long life, I will satisfy you. Psalm 91. I saw somebody, they signed their email off with tomorrow's not promised. I'm going to lay hold of the promise. If I see a promise, I'm taking it. I don't care what people think. But it's easy to repeat stuff, but we need to fact check. Certain things not worth fact checking because don't have nothing to do with me. But the certain thing when it comes to the Word of God, you better fact check what people posted on Facebook about what the Bible say. Oh, man. Praise God. I'm getting blessed. How about you? Yes. Let's close with this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all's. 11:30 already. I don't care. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Some people have forgotten. Some people never even knew his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Who? Forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. He's referencing the cross. Same thing. Same time he healed. Same time you were forgiven of all your iniquities, you were healed of all your diseases. All in Hebrew and Greek, Latin, Spanish. All means all. What diseases does that not cover? Huh? Covers all of them? Covers what you're dealing with? Glory to God. So receive your healing. See, I'm not going to lay hands on anybody, and that is a method of healing, but there's another method that Jesus used. He ministered to people all different kind of ways, not just one way. But a couple of overlooked verses in the Gospels is when Jesus or people came to Jesus. It says this in two places in, I believe, Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 6. People came to hear him and be healed. You can be healed just sitting under the word, just by listening, getting this information. Thank you, Jesus. You get some out of this today?
Yes.
Say, I'm healed.
I'm healed.
Say, I have been healed.
I have been healed.
I have been healed.
Glory
to God.